Chapter 11. Humour Me. Remy walked down the stark and empty hallway of Blind Bluff Manor, glancing at the tall curtains slightly swinging as he passed by. He stopped intermittently, eyeing the decorative paintings on the wall. Besides studying the Demon, Nathan also collected antiques in his spare time. These pictures on this wall had been there since he first stepped foot in the manor, and when he looked over them again, he always found something new to admire. He'd grown used to hearing Hallie roaming the hall, watching Anastasia standing silently near the paned windows, staring at the outside scenery, and Veronica locking herself in her room. Veronica was careful to hide her thoughts. It became second nature to her. However, in her room, she often relaxed, and that's when Remy found his way in. Her jumbled thoughts consisted of her mother, her father, and Demon. Although she told Nathan she was fine after learning that Kai and her father participated in her mother's death, deep inside she wanted revenge against those responsible without feeling like a killer herself. He wanted to bring her the good news. After Anastasia left Dark Sepulchre, Lambert told him everything he knew about Kai, where he hid, and how Celine and Lucius continued to track him. He also warned Remy about Celine and Lucius. They weren't the saviors they previously claimed to be. Celine still followed Lucius blindly, and she was seen at the Brotherhood chapter in Minneapolis. If it was true, that also meant that Lucius was aware of her visit as well. Remy decided to find his old friend Ollie, who, because of the recent killings, went into hiding. Like Lambert, Ollie had all the inside information when it came to demon affairs. Lambert gave Remy a location of Ollie's last known whereabouts, Dinkytown, and sent him on his way. He stopped by the front door of Anastasia's room, and he slowly opened it. Anastasia was the secretive demon who treated her room like her own private sanctuary. Her room had all the elements taken from sanctuaries that Remy only read about. The thick black drapes covering the windows came from the sanctuary in Switzerland, which Anastasia and her sire once lived in. Unlike Nathan's display of ancient Roman artifacts on the walls and in the foyer of the manor, Anastasia kept the walls of her room bare. Books about dragons, ancient gods and goddesses, and many other mythical creatures sat on shelves of her six-tiered bookcase. Nathan once said that Anastasia loved their intricate and flawless designs of these beasts. However, Remy knew there was more to Anastasia than what only Nathan and the others knew. Anastasia was a killer, and a good one at that. Remy's maker, Julian, told stories about her, warning Remy of the dangers Romanga demon possessed. Anastasia roamed the countryside with her maker, killing humans and demon. Julian said Anastasia took pleasure in each kill, sometimes spending hours torturing and draining her human victims. She enjoyed watching the horrified looks on the faces of children while she slaughtered their parents. Hearing all of this didn't make Remy scared of Anastasia. Instead, he wanted to seek her out. He walked toward the back of the room to the door that led to the balcony. He slid his hand over the drapes covering the door, realizing that they felt dusty and crude before opening the door. The moon was at its apex, high in the sky, and its glow illuminated the yard below. It wasn't even midnight yet. There was still time to enjoy the night. "What are you doing here?" Remy turned around, finding both Hallie and Veronica standing in the doorway, feverishly staring back at him. Dressed in a tan shirt and jeans and also sporting a red baseball cap, Hallie looked strangely different than what Remy was used to seeing her wear. Veronica looked lovelier than ever, dressed in a tight-fitting red shirt and blue jeans. He imagined his hands upon her hips, gently moving up and down, just to cop a feel. Veronica moved to the edge of Anastasia's bed and she glanced down at the mattress. A slight gust of wind blew past her, and she looked up, seeing Remy, who had moved in demon speed, now standing near her. "If Anastasia found you in here, she'd kill you." Hallie closed the door, and she took off her baseball cap, tossing it on the bed. "I don't care," Remy replied. He didn't understand her silent respect for Anastasia. She ordered Hallie around, refused to let her leave the manor, and most importantly, she wouldn't let the poor girl kill any human to feed. Anastasia made her stick to the four-legged animals around Blind Bluff Manor. Not to mention that she almost killed Hallie during their first encounter, because her existence went against one stupid rule in the dictum, which read, "Siring a demon at a young age is strictly forbidden." Remy knew that Hallie, a Metuzba, needed the aura of a human, and quite often, to survive. Hell, every demon needed to feed on a human once in their immortal lifetime. It was a sign of growing up, like parents buying a car for their teenage children as a high school graduation present. Where is Anastasia, anyway? Veronica stepped back as Remy approached her, his face blank and emotionless. His dark and ever-growing shadow blocked the moonlit area that she stood in. Veronica fidgeted as he remained close to her. She was still nervous. He hoped to change that once he revealed to her what he found out about Kai. Probably out. Killing. His lips curled into a smile. Are you worried about her? No, she just hasn't been here in a few days. He stepped back with a slight hint of swag in his step. Cheer up, my dear. I'm here. Veronica huffed. That makes me feel much better. She rolled her eyes. Well, you should be. He again moved forward, forcing her to move back. I got the information that you need. About Kai? Her brows curved downward and her eyes drilled into him. Maybe. Hallie sat on Anastasia's bed. I thought no one could touch Kai. Says Anastasia. He continued to move forward, backing Veronica into the wall. He moved in close and placed his cold palm on the side of her cheek. But since when do I follow rules? Veronica moved his hand. What did you find out? Lucius and Celine returned to Minneapolis days ago. He moved his hand back to her cheek. Her skin feels so soft, so lovely. That's the word on the street. Again, Veronica acted, but this time he gripped her wrist. Remove your hand. Her voice grumbled deeply. Or what? Or I'll remove it for you. She swallowed hard. I'm not scared of you. Your racing heartbeat says different. She immediately shut her eyes and Remy picked up on her thoughts. Dumbass. What the hell am I saying? Questioning him is useless. Why in the hell am I even listening to him? Can I trust him? There were only a few things that a demon wanted when it came to a human. Eating, torturing, and the unfathomable, loving. From the way he acted since they met, the first two were out of the question. But the idea that he couldn't love came back to him, and he repeated the same words to make himself believe otherwise. I love her. I love her. For you to have been raised in the Brotherhood, you are extremely clueless. He released his grip. There are a lot of things you don't know about us. Things that would have helped you in your search for your mother. Well, there's a lot that you don't know about me. I know everything about you. He slammed his hand against the wall, missing her head by inches. She slid away and hurried across the room to the door. She stopped just before the threshold and turned back to look at Remy, who now leaned against the wall with a devilish spark in his eye. What I do know about demon is that they can't be trusted. That's true. He stepped forward. We can't. However, this time I'm not lying. I do have information about Kai. She exhaled and walked back into the room. Well, what did you find out? He smiled and turned to Hallie, who proved to be a distraction to his thought-out plot. Don't you have something teenage-related to do? No, I don't. Hallie held her head high and flicked back her dreadlocks with her right hand. You can't get rid of me that easily. Still curious, Veronica spoke up. So, what is it? What did you find out? I honestly don't know, Remy answered. What do you mean, you don't know? Let's just say there's a reason you haven't seen Anastasia in a few nights. Whatever Celine and Lucius are up to isn't in the best interest of anyone. demon, human, or vamp. We have to find Kai. He might know what they're planning. So you want to interrogate Kai? Veronica stood up from the bed and her eyes narrowed. Aren't you a little curious to know what game Lucius and Celine are playing? No, not really. You should be, Remy replied. After all, your mother was once in love with Lucius. He stopped in mid-sentence. His demon hearing picked up on the sound of tires moving over the gravel driveway in the front of the manor. Someone was here and he didn't know who. What's that noise? Hallie's eyes expanded to the size of quarters. He lifted his finger for silence. A car radio. He tilted his head to the side, using his pristine hearing. A male voice. He inhaled deeply through his nostrils. A human. What in the hell is a human doing here? Getting Veronica to side with him and beg him for information had to wait. For now. He hurried out of the room, briskly walking by Veronica with Hallie following close behind. They slowed their pace when they reached the balcony, where again Remy inhaled, taking in the scent again. Veronica jogged up to them. It's a cop, Remy whispered. What the hell is a cop doing here? How do you know it's a cop? Hallie asked. You can smell that. No, Hallie, it's his thoughts. Befuddled, Veronica said. What do you think he wants? Remy concentrated. I don't think he's working for the Brotherhood. He then pushed Hallie away from the balcony. You stay out of sight. They heard a knock, and he smoothed back his hair and headed down the stairs with Veronica following him. Before opening the door, he paused and looked up to the balcony, making sure Hallie was nowhere to be seen. He then whispered to Veronica, "You speak, and I'll continue to peek in his brain." She nodded, and she took a deep breath before opening the front door. An older, bald male stood, smiling back at them. He wore a white polo shirt and khaki pants. Underneath his left arm, he held a small brown portfolio. Standing behind Veronica, Remy saw past the cop's plain clothes attire. "Can I help you?" Veronica asked. The male quickly glanced up at her. "Good evening. Sorry to intrude. I'm Detective Garrett. I'm looking for a Nathan Tiernan. He's out of state visiting relatives. Can I help you?" "Yeah, can I come in?" Veronica looked to Remy, who smiled and nodded. "Sure, come right in." Remy stepped aside. "A detective?" The detective smiled and walked in. He stood in the foyer, next to the bronze statue of the statue of the Greek god Mars. He squatted and examined the intricate detail of the statue's feet. "This is amazing." His eyes moved on to the next statue, and while preoccupied, Remy looked up toward the balcony, seeing Hallie peeking around the corner. "Nathan loves to collect statues," Veronica said to the detective. The detective nodded and stood up. "Again, I'm sorry to disturb you, but I'm from the Minneapolis downtown precinct. I just have a couple of questions for Mr. Tiernan. When do you think he'll be back?" His thoughts came to Remy easily. He wasn't lying. He was the lead detective on a case involving two mutilated bodies found at a burnt home in Minneapolis. Multiple witnesses saw a woman with dark hair leaving the home shortly after sunset, a woman who closely resembled Anastasia's likeness. Veronica shrugged. "Maybe a week or two. I'm not sure. His cousin is sick," she thought. "He's in the hospital." "Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that." Detective Garrett held out his hand to Remy. "May I ask what your name is?"
"Julius Tiernan. I'm his brother."
They shook hands and the detective questioned Veronica. Quickly, Remy spoke in her thoughts. "You're my wife, Deanna."
"And this is my wife, Deanna."
"Pleasure to meet you." Detective Garrett shook her hand. He opened his brown portfolio and he pulled out a drawn sketch. "We received reports of a woman fitting this description who's been seen here. Does she look familiar?" Veronica stared at the pencil-drawn sketch and immediately shook her head. "No, I haven't seen that person before." Remy placed his arm around her shoulder. "I haven't either, Detective." "Well, when he gets back, could you please let him know I stopped by?"
Detective Garrett reached into his pocket, pulling out a small business card. He can reach me at that number. Veronica took the card. Again, Remy invaded the detective's thoughts. Scouring them briefly, he concluded that the human planned on sticking around once he left the manor. His suspicions grew, and he didn't believe that Veronica told the truth about Nathan. Perfect. Just fucking perfect. Detective Garrett pointed to the statues. These are really beautiful. I don't think I've seen anything like it before. Just as he turned to walk away, a creak coming from the stairs caught his attention. His eyes glanced to the balcony above. Hello? Remy glanced up, surprised to see Hallie descending the stairs. In the time it took Veronica and himself to talk to the detective, she had gone to her room, changed, and placed her dreadlocks back into a neatly tight bun. Feeling the situation turning out of control, Remy communicated to Hallie in a loud telepathic scream. I told you to stay hidden! Hallie ignored him. We have company? She reached the bottom step and walked toward the detective. She held out her hand. I'm Hallie. She's our adopted daughter. A quick lie that didn't curb the detective's continued suspicions. Detective Garrett nodded slowly. A moment of silence filled the manor. From his peripheral, Remy saw Hallie's eyes narrow in on the human. He read her mind, finding that her desire to feed tipped the Richter scale. She wanted the human above anything else. Remy saw it as their only chance to get rid of meddling detective once and for all. I'm not going to stop you, he said to her as he took a step back. Veronica picked up on his statement, but a little too late. Without hesitation, Hallie moved in and yanked Detective Garrett into the foyer. She heaved his body through the air, crashing into one of the Roman statues. Immediately, she threw herself on top of him and pinned both his arms to the ground. Veronica screamed, and Remy quickly placed one finger over her mouth. Holy shit, I didn't know you could scream so loud. He smiled. It's sexy. What is she doing? She's doing what a demon does. Stop her. Number, it's rude to interrupt a demon in the middle of their meal. Hallie's eyes turned black, and she started to feed. Remy watched her continue her attack, as any Matuzba would. She fed off the human's psychic aura. It looked nothing like a Romanga attack, or even a Lamia attack. From a human's view, Hallie looked to be out-muscling him when in fact her onslaught ravaged his body from the inside out. Remy glorified in her first human kill. It was like riding a bike. She knew what to do and when to stop. As her own body absorbed her victim's essence, just by being in the same proximity, Detective Garrett's body began to shrivel. Don't feed too fast. You have enough time, Remy said as he coached his new apprentice. You don't want to choke on your food. Detective Garrett continued to struggle but found Hallie too strong. His head fell back and his eyes fluttered until his body movements finally ceased. Hallie leaned her head back and her face glowed. Oh my God, he tasted so good. She stood to her feet and stumbled slightly before catching her balance. I can feel him. She began to twirl around the foyer in a gleeful dance. Veronica immediately slapped Remy across the face. He felt his right cheek burn with the imprint of her hand, yet he found it soothing. What the hell were you thinking? She looked at Remy in horror. He's a detective! Now he's a dead detective. He knelt next to the body, and he began to search the detective. He pulled out another card, reading over the gold lettering before stuffing it in his pocket. Relax. No one will ever find out that he came here. He stood up and looked to Hallie, who still twirled around the room in absolute bliss. Are you done? Hallie paused in her jubilation. Get rid of it? What? You heard me. Get rid of it, Remy said again. Confusion replaced her celebration. I don't know what to do with it. She twiddled her fingers with her eyes locked onto the body. Can I bury it in the backyard? If you want, Remy shrugged. Personally, I like to roast human remains in a pyre, but we're short of fire here.
Craving more dark supernatural fiction? Unlock early access to narrated chapters, exclusive lore, and behind-the-scenes secrets from the Demon Chronicles. Only on Patreon. Join the darkness now at patreon.com/IsaianMorrison.